Hello, everyone. My name is John Pezzamenti. Over the years, growing up with my family, me and my sister both had the same interpretation about God. A man in the clouds with a mesmerizing smile and a big beard. And at such a young age, we didn't know what he was, what he did, and why he even was a little bit important. For all I knew, he was just there and existed. But when I started elementary school, a random woman with curly brown hair started telling me how great he was for no reason. I would later find out who this woman really was, who was none other than practically my second mom at this point, Laura. My relationship with Laura was a little bit confusing to me when I was around 6. Somehow she didn't find my amazing knock-knock jokes that funny when I would go up to her in the middle of one of her children's sermons and say, "Knock-knock," to which she would say, "Who's there?" And I would say, "I don't know, I forgot the joke." Can you believe she didn't find this hilarious? Tragic, I know. However, Laura gave me the foundation of what I needed to know to discover my unique faith. And I have developed a lot as a person, especially because I've spent my whole life here at SEC. But when I was younger, I just took things a little bit too literally sometimes. On one Sunday, around 4 years ago, Laura taught us about how God gives to us. This had led me to believe that God could magically give me an Xbox or get me a girlfriend. However, shortly after that, I learned something important. When my sister went through confirmation and did her statement, it really brought through to me what God meant to me. And one example I'm going to use here is how you should treat others how you would want to be treated. This phrase has stood true for me for around my entire life. In elementary school, it was just a rule. That was true, nothing else. Because at that point, you're just starting to make friends. If you go up to someone and be very nice and courteous, you should expect them to do that back, right? Well, this rule really slapped me in the face in sixth grade, let's just say that. Something important to know is that I was so cool in elementary school, guys. Don't ask me why, I have no idea, but I was really cool. However, in middle school, no matter how nice I was, I would get bullied and disrespected for no reason. Now, maybe this happened because sometimes I said things that I shouldn't, and I generally looked depressed, so I was a pretty easy target. But we were talking about people commenting on things like how I looked and what I was wearing, things that shouldn't matter. Now, I would say around sixth grade is when you really start to get your group of friends. And I just got cut out and left out. And if you aren't considered super good looking and funny in middle school, some people push you away. And I definitely didn't have either of those traits then, and I unfortunately still don't now. So why do I even try, right? Anyway, as a middle schooler, losing your friend group for these reasons is world-shattering, life-changing, and practically the worst thing ever. Other people started to take my place. I want to stress that in middle school, this is a really big deal, and I reacted horribly to this. But also around this time, I started to pray to God. I was doing what the curly-haired woman told me to do. Unfortunately, my prayers were kind of stupid, and they weren't working, so God wasn't helping. Logically, I stopped believing in him. I felt alone, cut off yet again. But a couple weeks later, I learned that God doesn't just give you what you ask for. That is another topic I want to talk on. God gives us all opportunities. Even though God gave me so many opportunities to make up and talk to my friends again, I was so distracted feeling sorry for myself that I could never act on it. If I just would have acted on those opportunities that God had given me, this wouldn't have happened. At the end of the day, if you don't try something, you will regret it later. So even if you don't want to take the opportunities God has given you, take them anyway. Because it's better to know that you don't like something from experience than just saying you don't want to do something because you think you won't like it. I could have made multiple efforts to fix my relationships, talked to the people that I really love from that friend group, and could have tried to talk it out with them. This leads me into how great it is that God allows us to love, which is what God means to me. I'm sure we all have or had that one person in our life who's always been there and made it special. That piece of God filling in that last piece of the puzzle. So hold on to that piece as long as you can, so it's always a part of you. I feel as though these special people were brought into my life for a reason. This could be your son, brother, sister, mother, for example, my best friend. I have known him for around 15 years. That is just one out of many that I hold very close to my heart and love. Because God makes it so they are always there for you and can pick you right back up when you're down. I would like you all just to think about who that person is in your life and just remember some things that you've done in the past together. Take this moment of silence to thank God for them being in your life. Now, I really mean it, guys. Close your eyes. Think about that person. Think about their smile, the way they laugh. Maybe how you comfort each other. But most of all, thank God for giving you the opportunity to know them. Because that bond, that love, should put a smile on your face. Well, at least it does for me. And that's love.
Hello, I'm Austin Rasmussen. This is my faith statement. What is God? What makes us believe in things that we do not know? These are two questions that are important to me. And I want to know, and I know now that there are many things that we want and do not want to believe in. So today I want to share with you how I make sense of this, of all this, from my limited experience on this small rocky planet we call Earth. In the Bible, Proverbs 4 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget my words or turn away from them." I think this quote means that that the reason we exist is it's our responsibility to push our limits of what we know from both technology and in our learning. But still not forget that it's all from God. I also know that God wants us to spread happiness to people that and beings in this world. And that is our responsibility too. Another example from this is for the first Peter. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. I feel this explains how we should take care of our next generations, from things such as teaching mathematics to moral philosophy, to about how to act in hard situations in our lives. In confirmation class, every week we were given a quote that we had to reflect on. One of these quotes were written by James McCosh. The book to read is not the one which thinks for you, but the one that makes you think. No book equals the Bible for that. At the time I wrote this reflection, I think he means that other books make their own decisions. But they are unlike the Bible, where you can have your own idea. Today, I have added to the way I think of it. For example, now I think he means that unlike books where you can read for pleasure in school, you can use the historical Bible situations and put them in your own life situations and learn from it. Now let's get into our next question. I asked in the introduction, what is God? I know that's a big question. Well, I think what God is, that God is the intuition that helps make life decisions, but not to push it. You can see this through decisions that you make, especially in the ones that make you just do good, just to help God's people, and not for some sort of reward. An example of this is, if you were in the middle of a field by yourself and you heard a kid screaming from a well, would you help him? Of course, your answer would be to help him. Even though you would not get a reward, you would still get, would still help the kid out of the will. I think this is a good way to show that God helps us make decisions, even if it does not benefit God or us. The questions of God, of who God is and what makes us believe in God are really hard questions to answer. I'm just beginning my journey of trying to figure this out, and I'm thankful for this church, which has helped me on my journey, and I will look forward to learning more about God and doing more for God as I get older. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Asha Joliet. I've been going to SCC for basically my whole life. My faith starts out like so many others, where every Sunday, my parents would force me to go to church. For my family, it included running into the church embarrassingly late every week, but that's another story, because today I want to talk about positive habits. For as long as I can remember, my parents would have me say my prayers every night. It became a habit, and they didn't have to remind me anymore as I started to get older. When I was young, I would just say exactly what my dad told me to say. As I continued to grow and learn about God, I would start applying prayer to real-life situations, like when I had a test or when someone I knew was having a hard time. When something went wrong, I knew that talking to God was always an option because it had become a habit from such a young age. Now, as soon as I need help with something, I turn to God first without thinking about it. I never thought about why my parents made me go to church, but as I got older, my mom didn't have to shove me out the door to go anymore. The same happened with confirmation. When it began, I was only going because my mom made me. As the weeks went on, it wasn't her reminding me that I had a class, but it was the other way around. Going to confirmation had become a habit because I had gone over and over. As I went to the different classes, I wrote and listened, but it didn't really seem like my faith was growing specifically from this. I learned a lot about God and religion, but honestly, I haven't applied much in my life. Surprisingly, I don't feel guilty about this. I know that if I continue to practice my faith, it'll become a second nature, same way my other habits did, and I'll have an even better connection with God. While practicing faith as a habit may sound confusing or even forced, author C.S. Lewis put it in simpler words. In one of his books, Mere Christianity, he writes, "Consequently, one must train the habit of faith." With the context of the writing, C.S. Lewis is basically saying that in order to fully understand religion, practicing faith has to come with it, and you can achieve faith by making it a habit. Now that I have these habits with church and prayer, I've created a good path for my faith to grow. I know this because I've learned how to create good habits for my faith, and I have a lot of knowledge about God from confirmation and years at church school. I also have a supportive community of people I've grown up around, a church with opportunities to help others, and a connection with God that'll help me when I need it.
Hi, my name is Torin Schott. I have been coming to this church for a very long time with my family. I can remember countless times of going to church, sitting on the red steps for the children's sermon, and listening to Laura tell different stories about how Jesus and God are part of our lives. I never really understood this until the first time I saw my great uncle Mark very ill with cancer. We went to visit him in the rehab home in Annapolis the summer before he died. The rehab home smelled funny and it was kind of a dark place to be. My great uncle Mark was pretty sick and needed a wheelchair to get around, but he still wanted to play cards. We played Steal the Unman's Baggage, Crazy Eights, and Kings in the Corner for a long time, even though it was hard for him to be there and see him so ill and in pain. We saw him 3 times that summer, and each time he looked worse. But each time he played cards with us, no matter how hard it was for him. Even as his condition grew worse, I saw God help Mark each and every time we saw him. I saw God give him strength to get out of bed, move into another room, play cards, and interact with us for as long as he could. Near the end of his life, my uncle got really into mochas from Starbucks. So each time we went, we would bring him a mocha. He was always so grateful that we were there and brought him something he loved. Each mocha was like a little gift from God. We went to Annapolis that Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving Day, my dad and I went to bring Mark back to his house for dinner. As always, he was grateful to see us. He wasn't able to shave himself anymore, so my dad did that as we waited for the van that would take him. It's a tradition for us to sing grace as a family before we eat. Mark had always been the one to lead us in song. We thought that he wouldn't be able to this year because of the oxygen tubes he needed. But when we started, he took out his oxygen tubes and sang as loudly as he ever had for all of us. He didn't talk much for the rest of dinner, but he still had an appetite for all the foods we had prepared. He later went back to the care center. It was the hardest thing to go there, but it was even harder to leave. Not only did God help my Uncle Mark to be present with our family in his last days, he helped me too. God helped me see it was important to visit him, even though it was a dark and difficult place to be. Each time, God gave me patience to wait for him to get out of bed, to be okay when Mark had a hard time shuffling the cards, and to be kind when Mark would stop playing all of a sudden. Most importantly, God helped me understand how my uncle needed to go, no matter how much I wanted to keep him here with me. One of the best gifts God gave my uncle was his cello. He played all his life, including with his group every Thursday. Even as his condition grew worse and worse, he played every Thursday, never losing his ability to enjoy his music. He was incredibly talented. God gave him his gift of music his whole life, until the very end. After he died, God helped me to see that he was happy as he died, and his passing was not God's fault. Instead, my faith helped me to see that much of Uncle Mark's happiness came through God. Uncle Mark kept his faith with him until the very end. On one of our last visits, my uncle looked at me and said, "I didn't say this enough, but I love you." When I was a kid, I didn't know when I arrived at church on Sunday mornings that I was requiring the stories and tools to help me be a good nephew, or to understand the gift of life, or to process grief, but I was. My relationship with God has changed the way I view the world. Each Starbucks mocha is a gift from God. Each song at Thanksgiving is a gift from God. Each moment I spent with my uncle is a gift from God. And each time I remember him, I am grateful for that gift.
Hi, my name is Chloe Graham, and throughout my life, faith has pretty much been the one thing that has been constant. I never needed reassurance that it was there, it just was. Every night before bed, I stare up at the ceiling and I ask why. I don't necessarily know who I'm asking or why I'm asking it. I just think that one day someone's going to answer me. I ask the ceiling, why me? Why do I have to struggle? Why do I have to fight so hard for basic human emotion? Why can't this darkness, this sadness, this numbness just go away? I just want to know why I have to be the one with a mental illness. Why do I have to be sad all the time? Why do I have to have motivation to get up out of bed? Deep down, I know that no one is going to answer me in a physical voice. I know that. I do. I've always been a big believer in the concept that things happen for a reason, that there is no triumph too big or struggle too small. When given the opportunity to think about what Southport Congregational Church means to me, I think of family and what family means, or what it's supposed to be. Now, when I think about my church family, I think about something different. It is not necessarily something that I can see or something I can touch in a moment of weakness, but somehow I know that the love and support is always there. I'm not ashamed to admit that I've struggled. I'm not ashamed to say that I've been to the hospital for not so much a physical injury, but a mental one. I'm not ashamed to say any of this because of my faith. When you ask kids what their idea of God is, the typical response is a man with long hair and a long beard surrounded by light. But if you ask me, I'd say that this church has taught me that God is love and kindness and compassion and everything you need when you're getting through a moment of weakness. I can proudly say that the reason I'm standing here today is because of my faith. And I can proudly say that because even though I have scars, mental and physical, my faith has kept me standing. This most recent time I've gotten discharged from the hospital was my fourth time this year. So when I reflected on where God played a part in helping me through my struggles, I realized that he didn't agree with my choices to take me away from this life. He kept me here and helped me live through the hardest parts of my recovery. When I was in my darkest days, I somehow always knew that he was there. When I was in the inpatient unit of the Yale Psychiatric Facility and not getting out of bed, I had doctors and nurses and fellow people who were struggling help me get back up on my feet. My most recent time I was there, I met a girl. She, who will remain nameless, lived across the hall from me. She would come into my room and sit with me and tell me that no matter what I was feeling or how hopeless I was or lonely or numb I was, that she was there and she wouldn't leave me. I had just met this girl and she would sit with me for hours because she just wanted me to know that someone was there and I wasn't completely and utterly alone. We wouldn't talk, sometimes we wouldn't even look at each other,
but the comfort I felt knowing that someone was there is indescribable. I knew that that was God in human form sending me a message that I was going to be okay. He knew that that was all I needed to hear. After that, I knew I was going to be okay. Of course, I was still going to struggle. Of course, I was going to have days where getting up was hard and pushing myself through my urges was going to be a fight. But I somehow always knew I was going to be okay. I thank the church for teaching me about my belief in God and about faith because it has saved me in more ways than one. It has taught me not to let my depression keep me down or stop me from achieving what I know I can do. So once again, I thank this church for teaching me about the one thing that has truly saved my life.
Our loving God, you who are with us when we are young, and through all of the moments of our journey as we grow, you who are with us at those times when we have been free of responsibility, and when we are weighed down with concerns of family and health, school, our job, our direction in life, you are there with us through all of it to shepherd us through, to guide and support and encourage, and to help us rebuild and recharge. And so we thank you. We pray that we may never take your presence or support for granted. And we thank you for bringing us together once again today as we all seek to find our way through life as seekers and as finders, as we individually and collectively try to piece it all together. And in doing so, may we find your peace. And so may you continue to help us in this way and bless us, and give us your strength and vision and courage for us and for every person in need, for those who are facing unrest, for those who are facing surgery and recovery of all kinds, political and personal and economic turmoil. And we pray for every person who advocates on your behalf, for your vision, for your justice. In all these ways we pray. And this morning, as we confirm our young people who have chosen among their many possibilities in life to choose a path of faith instead of despair, to choose a path of love instead of fear or hatred, for those who have chosen to be a part of your solution instead of bemoaning the problems, we thank you that you can, and that we can do the same for ourselves every day, every week, and with every opportunity. So bless us all, that we all may become even brighter beacons of your light and love, with faith, with love, and with joy. This we pray. Amen.